All right, we're here at the Bayer Advocacy event going on before the Commodity Classic, talking with Ryan Goodman. Ryan is a talented blogger with his blog Agriculture Proud. Ryan, we've known each other for a few years. This is actually the first time that we've ever talked interview-wise. Tell me a little bit about your blog for some of our listeners that may not know about it.
All right, thanks for having me on today. I've been blogging at agricultureproud.com for about eight or nine years now, just kind of talking about different topics and stories that are in the agricultural business and trying to share some information and educational material for those out there reading, whether it be farmers trying to tell their story and helping them to do that better, or consumers looking to learn more about where their food comes from.
So, Ryan, as an advocate yourself, what's the importance of advocacy right now with all the attitudes going on about agriculture? There's this growing concern about where people's food comes from and how it's produced. What's the importance there?
You know, we've been talking a lot about advocacy for several years, and it's definitely a topic that's kind of gone around. A lot of it's focused on social media and trying to connect with people that are out there asking questions about their food and our food and farming supply chain and where all that happens. And I think a lot of that has done a lot of good in trying to connect people with where our food comes from and learning more about that. And it's also raised a lot of questions. So as farming and ranching community, we have a job and responsibility to listen to our customers, but also hoping that our customers kind of reach out to us and helping to answer some of their questions. And I think today's conversation at the Bayer Advocacy Forum has done a really good job of showing how we need to connect across different sectors of the industry and definitely collaborate on a lot of these issues, not only to address some of the concerns, but share educational information that's out there, that are knowledge pockets across the industry, and help to share that information so we're all aware of how the greater picture comes together as we bring food to tables across the globe.
And one thing that was mentioned in the last session that I really agree with is, you know, it's really important the way you frame your stories, the way you paint that picture, and how you deliver that message. How do you go about that? Obviously, you use blogging, but how do you approach your readers, I guess?
You know, there's a lot of advocacy that takes place offline. Social media is a great way to connect with people with mutual interest. So the way I do that is with the running community and Team Beef and running, connecting is that. And then we talk about farming and ranching once they, you know, kind of see the steak on my jersey or something like that. But a lot of the offline advocacy takes place in our communities, whether it be churches, grocery stores, talking to somebody that is at the meat counter, if you're a beef producer, and saying, hey, I raise this product. Do you have any questions? What cut are you looking for today? And also customers looking for those opportunities, whether it be the farmer's market or reaching out to somebody at a community event. I think that there's a lot of those offline opportunities that we can take advantage of, and there's nothing better than a face-to-face encounter and shaking a hand to somebody that grows your food or eats it.
And you already kind of mentioned, you know, you're enjoying the discussions going on. What have you thought about the event as a whole? We're coming to an end here. We've got one more session, I think, left. Are there any ideas with some merits behind it that you think you're going to be taking back to your audience?
You know, I think there's been some really great questions. We had an amazing farmer panel to start off Wednesday morning session with growers from New Mexico and Nebraska talking about labor issues and some of the things that are coming on with immigration. But I think some of the exciting questions that come up is when we're looking at food topics, I think a great one is, what is our lower income families looking at? Are they concerned about the price of food or GMOs, or what is their concern? I think often that's an overlooked segment of our economy. I know in much of the southeastern region, even here in the Texas and Oklahoma area, you know, there's a lot of people that are living in poverty, and are we overlooking them when we're talking about a lot of these food conversations?
And before you arrived here this week, as of late, what are some of the hot button issues that you've been discussing? Obviously, policy, trade, farm bill talks and stuff like that, I'm sure have been top of mind. Is there any issues kind of flying under the radar right now that you think people should know about?
You know, I think one of the things we need to address, especially in the cattle community, is a divide within our community. Things like the beef checkoff are driving that. It's not just that conversation, but I think that that's some things that we need to look within our agricultural community and decide how we're going to work together, whether it be the checkoff, whether it be genetics in the crop world with GMOs versus organics, natural products, niche markets. I think that we need to take some time within our agricultural communities and address those dividing issues so that we can learn how to move forward to those before we make significant progress with consumers.
And, you know, obviously, especially with farmers of all types, I guess, but cattlemen, you know, it all boils down to their bottom line. And you've got a pretty good pulse on the cattle industry right now. Your family's involved with it. Your folks own a sale barn there in Arkansas. And you've been involved with the Montana Stock Growers Association yourself. You know, we're coming out of this fall downtrend that we had. We're starting to stabilize. What's the feeling out there? Are producers getting a little more of an optimistic perception of what's going on in the markets?
You know, as mentioned today's program, that food is definitely an emotional issue for most all people, but it still comes down to it's a business for family farms and ranches. And it's definitely a tough economic time in our industry. And I think that we have to figure out how to make the most efficient use of our resources and look at our bottom line and then find opportunities. Instead of complaining about things, find an opportunity to get the highest price for our cattle, whether that's a niche market or taking control and managing our risks on marketing our product. And that's something that we can look at. Instead of complaining a lot of issues, let's work towards solutions and be proactive about it.
And that was another thing that was said today. Somebody just said, you know, rather than sitting around trying to contemplate everything, they said, just do something. And, you know, that, I think that's a major theme of what's going on this week is finding that innovation and really trying to pump up those creative brainstorming sessions, I guess, to solve problems. Feeding the future is the theme of this week. What do you think about the future of agriculture? Is it a bright horizon?
You know, I think we've got a lot of opportunity in collaborating with different sectors of our industry. We've got a lot of knowledge out there, and if we can come together and work towards solutions with that, I think that we've got a really bright spot. The world is becoming even more global, even with the turbulent political atmosphere here in the United States. I think we've got a lot of opportunity globally, and we need to compete with those other markets and those other growing countries. As we get growing middle classes and growing economies across the globe, we need to be aware of those and how those consumers across the globe look at our commodities and look towards the future and how are we going to adapt to those.